Welcome to Marooned at Magpie's Headquarters, day 98. So close. Hello, Jonathan. CQ, CQ, Deb. New toys. Ooh, I'm excited. Never had a bridge keyboard.
What keyboards have I had for my iPads?
I had one that was a kind of wraparound thing. It was pretty poor. And I've got my trusty Logitech. And of course, I can now use my Matias. But apart from that, no, never done the keyboard thing. So I shall look forward to hearing all about it. Hello, Kim. I've got news from Lola. She's in trouble. Oh, she's been a bad girl. She has ripped a toy. Now, this isn't usually calamitous, but it is if it's Foxy. Foxy cost a flaming fortune. We only bought Foxy because she was obsessed with Ollie's Foxy. It came from Pets at Home. I think it was something stupid like £15. We bought her own. She wasn't interested in her own. No, she was interested in Ollie's. So then Ollie disappeared and took Ollie's with him. And that left Lola's Foxy. Wasn't interested. It's been sat there since last October. Today, suddenly gone mad for it. Putting it down to the fact she's hormonal. Playing with it, you should see the holes in it. It perfectly lines up with the big teeth she has. Yes, so she got a talking to about ripping Foxy. And she's not in the slightest bit bothered. She does not care. So we see a trip to Pets at Home in our pretty near future, I would say. At the moment, I could probably fix it. But if I did, you know, she'd only do it again. So we'll have to see how it goes. But that was today's excitement. Foxy was brought up and Mike said there was one hole in it. I gave it a closer examination and found several. Naughty Lola. Kiefer eats the ears off all her toys. Now that sounds like Maya. There wasn't a toy he had a head on it. Ooh, WWDC show tomorrow. Hello, Erwin. Yes, indeed, it is. I'm quite excited about this one because they've gone about it completely the opposite way to last year. Which, if you recall, last year, about 10 days before, they announced a new piece of hardware, and then they announced something else, and then something else. And well, I'm like, this is weird. It's the week before WWDC. We don't need to do this. Hang on to it. But as they kept releasing more and more information, we all thought, ah, it's fine. Leave them to it. They must have something amazing to share on the night. On the night, crickets. So, having gone about completely doing it the opposite way, fingers crossed there'll be lots for us to share tomorrow. And there'll be bingo cards, just saying. We've got to do the Magpies WWDC 2020 bingo card thing. We do have fun with that. Most people take it very seriously and put down things that might actually happen. We put things down like major eye work update. You know, like that's never going to happen. But we'll see. We will see how it goes. Have I seen the weather for this week? Sadly, I have, Jonathan. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, boiling hot. And it's, according to the weather app, not much chance of rain. So I'm not happy about it. Lola's not happy about it. So what Mike's just said is, would you like the big fan upstairs? Now, the big fan is huge. We are talking industrial. I think it's got 4 levels on it, but I don't think we've ever had it past 2. Not without tables blowing over and things. So I said to him, not today, but probably tomorrow. In readiment for the worst week of the year, by the look of it. Rather disgusted, to be honest. But what can you do? It was warm enough in here last night. And I was doing a music show yesterday, as you know, not the live one by request. I did the music of the musicals, which seemed like a good title till you actually had to say it. It was all right on paper. And I had to do the intro, the outro and the credits for that. And I looked round the office and I thought, I've turned the fan off.
Then I thought, I have to close the window. And then I'm thinking, what's that noise? And I realised Mike had a fan on, and I thought, you know what, forget it. So I up sticks and I went into the studio to do it, which meant I had to close the door. Now, our studio is highly, 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 can't express that enough, insulated. So we have foam, we have acoustic boarding, you name it, we've got it. It is quadruple glazed. More glass in there than an average pub. And I had to close the door. Luckily, it wasn't in there long. I think the piece I recorded, and I did one bit three times, was about 2 minutes something. But if it had been an entire show, whoa, couldn't have coped. Could not have coped. Poor Lola with all that fur. Well, actually, Jonathan, that fur helps keep her cool. As long as her undercoat is brushed out. So a Samoyed has two distinct types of fur. Really soft, downy fur that you could turn into wool. It's beautiful. It's like cashmere. And then longer fur that's a little bit rougher than that. And that's the bit that sticks out that makes them look so much bigger than they actually are physically in the body. So if you take the undercoat out with a teasing brush, then the outer fur just actually keeps them cool, because otherwise they're very pink skinned. So if they were, if like some idiots who shave Sammy's, not the best idea ever, never. Yeah, then you have to put sunscreen on them. So the longer fur is actually okay. Oh, you enjoyed last night's show. That is good to hear. Oh, we had some fun later. There was some autocorrect going on. Autocorrect gives us hours of happy fun by request. I think it was Kath. And we were discussing what song we go out to. Now, there's a saga with that. When we have after parties, so we go and have an event somewhere. And then there's a couple in the Catanians called Pam and Jed. And they usually throw an after party. So we all decamp to Pam and Jed's, and they've got an Alexa in the kitchen, and the kitchen is merged with the conservatory, so you can get sort of 20 people in there. And everybody's screaming at Alexa for something to play. And both Pam and her sister, and usually she's got two sisters, so usually you've got like three couples there, and all three of them love Freebird by Lynyrd Skynyrd. And the problem with that is we've heard it at every event. I'd never heard it. The first time I heard it, it set your echo off. Good evening, Simon. Do you know, I was listening to a video the other day and he mentioned S-I-R-I and set mine off, and mine wouldn't shut up. Been severely reprimanded since then, I'm happy to report, and now is quiet. So this Freebird came on and I wasn't familiar with it. And I thought, whoa, this goes on a bit. It's 9.5 minutes. But I reached the point, I'd heard it that many times, it kind of grew on me. So with it being like the long song and a slow song, we went out to it for weeks and weeks. Until there was a revolt. It's like, we're not putting that on again, are we? Now, luckily at this stage, I don't think Pam was listening. Because it was Pam we put it on for. Sometimes we play it twice a night. So we put it out and said, well, if you don't want that, what do you want? So we were discussing what we were going out to. And what happens when we go out at 1 o'clock? It's usually around 1 o'clock we say goodbye and we've played the last official song. And then we've got one more song that we play. It just depends on what that particular song happens to be. So after that song's finished, it goes into, I think the system's called Auto DJ. And basically you key up things that you want to play. So if you think about how MacBites FM works, once we've finished going live, little blue flash, it goes back and it's at the moment it's playing Marooned episodes. It's got all of the Marooned episodes from episode one. So that's what we do. But you get to decide what plays and in what order. So there's usually a scrap as to which is the first programme after we finish by request. And the most popular one we've ever done has been the Neil Diamond special. Everybody loves Neil Diamond. So that usually gets put on. But what we've taken to doing is putting on the one that was on at 7 o'clock. So while we're doing Marooned, we have a pre-record playing on Brooklands. And it's a new one every week at 7 o'clock on a Saturday night. This week's was the music of the musicals. And Ellen had chosen all the songs. So we said we would put that on at 1 o'clock when we'd finished. But then it's like a mad scrap to what goes on next. And
The reason it started was Kath goes to sleep with her headphones on. And then she'll suddenly wake up and her headphones will still be in and she'll be listening to something. And she started calling it the Baby Jesus music. It's Christian radio station. And what we do is we've got our content and we've got content that's syndicated by other Christian radio stations. So she calls it the Baby Jesus music. Only when she typed it, it didn't say Jesus, it said Jedus. So it also auto-corrected from Jesus to Jedus, which then became, you know what Stuart's like for having a laugh. And he said, is that related to Jedward? So I threatened to play some Jedward. Can anybody name a Jedward track? Because I must admit, I couldn't. So much frivolity with that, much frivolity. I think he mentioned it being a cross between Jesus and Judas. So we decided that we were going in with the music of the musicals, followed by Neil Diamond, followed by Queen, followed by something else. We said to her, if you are awake before 6:30 or after 12 o'clock, then you'll get the kind of music that you like. But the Baby Jesus music will be on between 6:30 and noon. Don't know why we don't put a mass on, to be honest. But that was what happened. Yeah, it was a great night. It was a great, great night. In fact, I've had a mail today and this one is so funny. You know, I take challenges. People can suggest a song. We've had some classic challenges. But basically, the idea of a challenge song is it's one that they think I won't find. So it would be a difficult to find song. And this guy sends me a mail. But the thing is, he sends me another one. 10 minutes later. But I'm going backwards through my mail. It's a long, complicated story involving an app that has access to my mail and my calendar. And it's just nuking things off my calendar randomly. So I'm now having to go in through a browser. But we won't worry about that. I'm not actually convinced that they do sing, Jonathan. But they kind of make a wailing noise, don't they? One of them was called Lipstick, and I was a little bit concerned about that. So no, we didn't play one. Don't panic. We're not having a 60-minute Jedward special. Although I might threaten it just for giggles. I think I might threaten it in the group and see what they've got to say. So I seize the second mail before I seize the first mail. And the title of the second mail is B for Bertie, star, 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 KS. I thought, good grief. But what had happened was he'd sent me a challenge. And he said, I think it may get you stumped. And the thing is, he owns a copy of this very rare recording. So he was incredibly confident. The mail that he then sent 10 minutes later with the naughty word was, darn it, it's on YouTube. So that isn't going to be a challenge next week. But we have had some fantastic challenges. The most challenging was probably the Hartlepool song. If you've never been with us and you haven't heard the Hartlepool song, think yourself lucky. It took me about 5 weeks to find a copy of it. It was called Who Put Sugar in My Tea? And it was one of these football type songs where the team sing it, which is never a good idea, to be honest. It wasn't the best, but I did find it. So it took me a while, but I did find it. The other one was the one from last week, which was called Sweet Violets. Whoa, that was tricky. 1936. It was on a 72. Jonathan doesn't remember 12 inches, never mind a 72. But was it a 72 or 78? Whatever. The one with the 7 in it, that one. Who put sugar in my tea? Yeah, I know. But the thing was, that was what everybody calls the song. Turns out that wasn't actually the title of the song. That's like the subtitle. You know when you see a record and it's got something in brackets? What's that one of Kate Bush's? She'd never wanted to call it that. I think he's running up that hill. There's a bit in brackets. Running up that hill. Kate Bush. All to do with America, this was. The actual title is Running Up That Hill, and then in brackets, A Deal With God. But in her mind, the song is called A Deal With God. And the reason that it's got Running Up That Hill and then A Deal With God in brackets is that her record company refused to let her call it A Deal With God and then release it in the States. I wouldn't have thought that was a big deal, but apparently it was a big deal. So this Hartlepool song, the Who Put Sugar In My Tea, was in brackets.
And I forget what the song was actually called, but I found it in the end. That was not an easy one. We should play Running Up That Hill, shouldn't we? I like that one. I actually like Wuthering Heights. Do you remember that one, Jonathan? Because you made the point to Mike. People probably think you're about 50. I don't think it matters. I mean, you've seen Peter dancing, haven't you, Jonathan? Or are you not in the WhatsApp group? We've got a video of Peter dancing, and Peter's in his 90s. And you know, he's a pretty good mover. But you should see him and his wife when they arrive at church. You would never think that they would be dancing to the kind of music. He loves T-Rex. He loves Boney M. Real 70s glam rock is his favourite. But, you know, if he's in his 90s, he must have been in his 50s, in the 70s. But he's a mover. But you arrive at church and he's got two sticks. And he's also got this, like, magnification sheet. So he's got glasses on, but he also has a large print hymn book and a magnifying sheet to see it. That's my future right there. Because I've got glasses in three different strengths because my eyes just seem to change daily. So I put on the first one. It's like the Three Bears here. Put the first one on. Can't see a thing. Let's go up to the next one. Bit blurry. Okay, let's have the super glasses today. Oh, now I can read. But today, for instance, I am on my weakest glasses and everything is fine. Yesterday, blind as a bat. So that is indeed my future. Do you need to give your number to join the group? It does appear, but we're all friendly. We don't bite. Even I put my number in WhatsApp. I know, that's shocking, isn't it? But you do. But don't feel you've got to join. Just that's where that video was. We don't put that video in the other one because they're not in that other one. But we do put some videos in there. As you discovered last night, which was the video I put up last night? Oh, Mike in his red suspenders. When he said that, Kim, I was rolling on the floor. Yes, his braces. He's got red braces and a bow tie. And the reason that he's got a red one, I think Chidge has got a Welsh one, because Chidge is Welsh. So he's got Welsh and he's got Welsh braces with dragons on. They're fabulous. But Mike's got the red one. Hello, Mrs. Simon. You don't think you want to see that? he was air guitaring as well at the time. That was a ladies' night. Now, you remember our ladies' night. That was the one where there's a picture of Mike on the stage wafting a microphone around. I think it was a live microphone as well, even more scary. But this was a ladies' night from another circle. And they decided on a James Bond-themed night. We didn't bother with a theme. Having fun was our theme. And they'd got the DJ that they'd got in is also a singer. She's fantastic. Costs an arm and a leg, but she's fantastic. Anyway, she does a lot of events for the Catanians. And she said something about, can I have the captains up here? And we're all just looking around like, well. And she went, they're not called captains, are they? And we went, do you mean the presidents? She said, that's what I mean. So there was Mike, who was VP at the time. There was Stuart, who was P. There was the provincial president up there and the circle president. So there was four of them. And she made them do Live and Let Die. It was fabulous. I thought, I've got to get this on video. And it was mentioned last night in relation to another song. So we put that on as well. But the red braces and bow tie were because we were doing the door on the Christmas concert that was had at the church. And all of the choir, we are not let anywhere near the choir for safety's sake. I mean, if you stayed to the end last night, you heard Mike murder an entire song. So we are let nowhere near the choir. But we do the door for them at their Christmas concert. And they were all wearing red. So they bought me a red scarf to match all their red scarves, which had musical notes on them. And Mike said, she said, you know, we're wearing red. And Mike said, I'll get a red bow tie. It was actually cheaper to get the braces and the bow tie. And that's why he had a red one. He also has a black one. But the red one's rather nice. Some people even have a white tux. So they're not, you know, when it says formal wear, they don't mind if the bow tie is a slightly different colour. There was also another ladies' night that used to be St George's Day. And a lot of people went to that one with the flag of St George on the bow tie. It was fabulous. Oh, so what's Erwin saying? My Swift programming guru, Paul Hudson, has two Samoyeds. Ooh! Very sophisticated dogs regularly kindly asking for treats during his coding sessions. Lola does that. She comes in and gives us the eye. Actually, she's been incredibly good when we've been doing after hours. Mayo was a jumped up monkey. He knew if Mike was in the office and I was in the studio, all he had to do was headbutt one or other of the doors to get a treat. Because we would be recording MacBites. This is a good few years ago, about 8-10 years ago. We'd be recording MacBites and it would be late. It would literally be 11:30, anywhere between 11:30 and 2 o'clock in the morning. And obviously we shared the house with Mum and Dad and they were asleep. So the last thing we wanted was Maya making a noise. If the headbutting didn't work, he'd start pre-barking. Now you're wondering what a pre-bark is. He was very clever. Lola doesn't do this either. He'd stand there and he'd just kind of mouth a bark and it sounded like, hop, hop, and that was about as loud as it was. But if that didn't work, he would start barking. The volume would go straight to 11. So if you heard a pre-bark, no, you've got to get out there. Like, what are you doing? No barking, no barking. And what he'd do if I went out and did that, he would back up down the landing and that would be where my mum and dad's bedroom was. So I'm whispering to him like, don't you dare go near that, no. And he'd go over to their door and he'd stand there and go, hubba, hubba. And you knew he was going to stop barking if he didn't get a treat. So he knew we had this tin of biscuits in the studio, which was to keep him quiet. Oh, he was a minx. He really was. And he would decide when he'd had enough. One might not do it. One might do it 1 week, but some weeks it was four. Luckily, we got the tiniest biscuits. I think he knew that as well. And they were literally like the size of your thumbnail, but they were the same biscuits that he had bigger versions of. And we researched it. Apparently, although I don't believe this either, dogs don't understand the concept of the size of a treat. I can assure you they do. But according to this book, so I thought, well, I'll do tiny ones for this. And it was the only time that he ever got that particular treat. So yes, pre-barking. Lola doesn't pre-bark. When she arrived, she barely barked at all. Now she gets very giddy when she's playing or she's going out. And I think it's because, which we think is causing a problem with the bed, the one that she's kicking around and ripping to shreds. It's in front of the front door. And up to lockdown, that wasn't proving an issue. She'd ripped the bottom of it, but nothing serious. But once lockdown happened, what was happening up to lockdown was Mike was taking her out the back. So she would go through the kitchen into the extension, open the side door, out the back, open the gates and off she'd go for a walk. But that's because one or other of us would be leaving somewhere at some point with the car. There isn't much point in opening the back gates at the minute, is there? So given the fact when it rains, they get more difficult to open, I said, just take her out the front. That seemed to, well, it took her quite a few weeks to get used to it. But now I think she feels, because we have to move the bed to take her for a walk, I think she thinks if she moves the bed, she gets to go for a walk. Dog psychology much. Oh, it's a lifetime of fun with a dog. As they try and mould you to what they want you to be. It's clear that we don't domesticate the dog. Yes, exactly, Anthony. Like my mum. My mum was convinced that the dog training was a simple business. And she'd got this rubber pipe. And Maya was quite interested in this rubber pipe. It was about 6 inches. And it was a rubber pipe, like a hose off a washing machine. And she had actually taken this thing off the washing machine to replace it. And he was like pouring at it and playing with it and quite nicely. So she decided she was going to teach him to fetch. So she'd throw it and she'd be fetch the pipe, and then she'd take him over to it and show him the pipe and pick it up and put it in his mouth. And I said, no chance. And I went off to work for the day. Came back down in the evening, said, how's the pipe thing doing? She said, yeah, we'll get there. 3 days later, I said, have you given up yet? She went, the pipe fetching is going very well. She said, I throw it, he sits and watches me, and I go and fetch it. Which was pretty much what I expected. Maya had people for everything, and different people at that. I was always the one. I got the short straw. I always had to give him his medication. Despite the fact that he was, when he did have medication, on the odd occasion he needed it, it would be antibiotics and it would be penicillin based. And I can't touch penicillin. He was so wily. He'd see me putting the gloves on and that was it. It was off. So what they told you to do about that, back to the dog psychology books, put the gloves on and give them a treat. Put the gloves on and sit and watch the TV. And I'm reading this book and I'm thinking, jump the shark much. The dog's not stupid. It was like acclimatised them to the gloves. Didn't work. Oh, and another one was, the vet said, it might be quite, has he had pills before? So I said, no. So he said, right, well, the best way to do it is to put the tablet in the end of a straw and blowpipe it in. And I just looked at this vet like, okay, another vet off the list. I thought, May is not going to go for that. But I thought, well, you know, he's at it. You don't put it in food and don't do this, don't do that. Put it in a blowpipe and blow it in. Let's just say he blew back before I got the chance. Don't even think about it. That was retired before we even actually officially tried it once. He saw it coming and that was the end of that. No, I just thought they were insane. But, you know, Kim, you know my vet. This was the one that said, burn a tick off him. Have you seen the length of his fur? Where is said tick? Right next to his eyeball. Burn it off with a lighter. And I came off the phone and Mike took one look at my face and he said, we need a new vet, don't we? I said, we do. Yet another one. I think that was vet number 7. Cross him off the list. I did get the tick out, but oh, what a performance. It was made more difficult by where it was, but honestly. But you're right, Jonathan. You would have to wear gloves all the time. Animals are not stupid. Not by a long way. Never underestimate an animal. When Mike lived in his flat, lived in a flat in Bramall, which was about 15 miles away from me. And the next door neighbour had this cat. It was a rescue cat. It was very young when she got it, but we think it had been abused in some kind of way because it was quite, I won't say it was shy, you know, like pulling away from people. It wasn't that. This cat had attitude. You know, don't get on the wrong side of this cat. It was very, very picky. It loved my dad. It absolutely loved my dad. Hello, Paul. But this cat, she came home one night and she'd said to us, oh, yeah, I'm worried about tomorrow. And we said, why? So she said, I've got to take Oscar to the vet for his jabs. So we said, that can't be too difficult, can it? And she went, he won't be here. You know, he just knows. And we thought, oh, no, he always comes home when we come home. Because we had cream that we could give him, never mind milk. So she gets home that night. Cat's not there. It didn't. And she's hopping from foot to foot because she's got this appointment with the vet. We ended up having to go out hunting for the cat, armed with fish and all sorts. But I said to Mike, I'll bet you any money we'll open the door to the flat. And she's left the cat box at the bottom of the stairs. The cat's not stupid. Sees the cat box. Oh, going to the vet, are we? I don't think so. So when we finally grabbed hold of him, I had him by the scruff. We're trying to get him in the car, and obviously we needed to put him in the travelling case. Open the front door, there's the cat box. I just looked at Mike. I mean, you'd have to disguise it, wouldn't you? Put it somewhere else, honestly. Oh, my word. Right, let's go up here. I've missed a bit here. Missed a bit. Right. Clear we don't... no, done that one. Kiva does that when there are animals around on the trail. I was calling it in a huff. Now I have pre-bark. He is. She's back. She's back. I hear chicken. Has she had fun? She has had fun, apparently. Yes, it's a definite pre-bark. Because he would then... If ignored, he would bark. But the fact that he knew to do it quietly, because if he barked, you know, you might think, no, I'm going to teach you a lesson.
No, he actually gave you warning. If we don't do this my way, then I'm going to make a heck of a cacophony. You couldn't have that 2 o'clock in the morning. The little jumped up minx. But they are highly, highly intelligent animals.
I'm listening to the show. Good evening, everybody.
Hey, Mike.
I'm listening to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been hearing all about pre-bark.
Yes.
So I did. And she just gave me a strange look.
Don't teach her to pre-bark. She's already probably channeling Maya from beyond. Maya's up there at Rainbow Bridge trying to send messages back to her.
Hop, hop, hop.
Yeah, Kim was calling it in a huff, but now she's going to call it pre-barking. Oh, I wonder why Lola doesn't. Maybe it's a girl thing.
It could be. Maya was a product of his environment.
Yes. Oh, Maya was unique, be honest.
What was
he like when we went to pick him up? Because they always said to, you know...
Kim. Hi, Anthony. Hi, chicken.
I'd done this, the business of, like, you know, how to pick the perfect puppy. Yeah, right. I mean, they had some good things, which was, you know, don't pick one that's lying there lethargic, because however cute they are, you need to wonder why. Why is it just lying there, semi-comatose? And interestingly, when we went to pick up Maya, there was one lying there semi-comatose. And what they were saying in the book was, a puppy, no matter how tired they are, would be interested in a new person. And if that dog's just lying there, you know, you do have to wonder why. And plus the fact, why would it be any more tired than its litter mates? So I looked at this one that was semi-comatose and said to Mike,
Double dot.
He had 2 white dots on his nose. And the other thing they said to do was get the dog facing away from you. So maybe playing with, like, the dog playing with Mike and me stood behind the dog, and then clap and make sure that they turn around, and that way you've ascertained they're not deaf. Now, the thing is, Samoyeds do have selective Samoyed deafness. Not in terms of an affliction that a vet would understand, but selective Samoyed deafness is, come here, good boy, good girl, nothing. Open the fridge, straight there.
Lola's got the same affliction.
Exactly. Lola, they only hear what they want to hear.
Lola was sitting in the back garden and she heard me jingle her lead. She came legging it in.
Yeah, but if you'd have shouted, "I've got the brush, come in," you wouldn't have seen heels for the dust. Anthony says Westies have got the same thing. Westie, selective deafness. So we knew that he wasn't deaf and we knew he wasn't the comatose one on the floor. What else did we do? There was about 5 or 6 items that you're checking on this thing and you felt such an idiot. But you're walking around doing it because you don't know any better. But Lola just arrived perfect, didn't she?
She did.
Maya didn't want to sleep in, did he? He wanted to mooch around the house. You couldn't have put him in one room with you to sleep the night. Oh, he'd have had the door down. Although she's quite funny. Because if I'm working late, the bedroom door's closed, she's in the bedroom with Mike, and I'll hear this, like, nails on a door, and she's turning over. What she's doing is she sleeps by the door, and as she's turning over, her back legs are on the door, and it sounds like somebody tap dancing.
Yeah.
I've no idea what state that door's going to be in. But she does, and you think, oh, bless, she's by the door, and she's turning over. And then she's taken to... When I go to bed, she wants to lick my foot. I have no idea why. She just licks my foot. And then if I put my feet under the quilt, if she's not had enough, she'll burrow under the quilt and drag my foot out. This morning, she went out for a walk. I was still in bed. I didn't get to bed until the sun was up, you know. So I was still in bed. And she dived straight under the quilt and dragged my foot out and sat there with both paws on it.
She does usually come in when called.
She does come in. She used to come in when you just said in, but now we've got in, and she does come in. She does come in. So Kiva's really good about coming when called. She always gets a treat. No, we don't always give Lola a treat for coming in, do we? Oh, Maya, you had to. Oh, he was honestly, he was a menace. I don't know how we survived him, you know. What Mum did was, because she was in no fit state to be running around the garden with him, she'd let him out, and then if he didn't want to come in, so if Mike and I are out and he didn't want to come in,
She'd just stand there at the back door with a piece of cheese in her hand. It was like a Mexican standoff because it was the only time he got a cheese treat. So he'd look at her and he'd be, and he'd usually have something he'd nicked in his mouth as well, wouldn't he? Mum used to leave the kitchen, you know, like a towel that you would have in the kitchen. She used to leave it, this was before Maya arrived, over the radiator. So it wasn't particularly wet or anything, it was just that's where she kept the towel. Well, Maya arrived and he ignored this thing for quite a while because it would have been a lot bigger than he was. But once he got to about 6 months and he was tall enough to have this towel, he'd amble through the kitchen, cool as anything, wouldn't he? And he'd get halfway past the towel as though he's not going to do a thing with this towel. And then he'd just swing his head to the side, grab it and leg it. And if it wasn't that, it'd be something else that he'd have. And he would then march around the garden with it. So she had to start putting this towel somewhere else.
You know what's interesting with Lola? She doesn't do that.
No.
And I leave dirty towels on the floor because obviously with COVID, you're using a lot more towels.
I think we bought a pack, didn't we? We want the 100 towels in.
Yeah. So
100 hand towels.
Because we have the washing machine in the garage, rather than me having to go through the extension, unlock everything, unlock the garage, and then throw the towel straight in the washing machine. I mean, I'm not actually putting it on, but it's just someone to store old towels. I have taken, if I've got, you know, if I've used two or three towels, because I might use a towel to dry her if she comes in wet. And then I might use another towel to dry the surfaces in the kitchen. And then another towel for my hands. So I've got three towels on the floor and then I'll put them in the garage in one go. And she's just leaving them. She's not interested.
No, it's strange, isn't it? Because we automatically...
I'll say that and I've gone and find a shredded towel down there now.
Yeah, but it's better than the alternative. You know, I mean, we know what Maya was like. You would get whatever he'd taken off him in the end. You didn't have to bribe him to give it back. He just said, in fact, the longer you ignored him, the less interested he was in his prize. And we'd kind of trained him that way. Like, we're not interested, you have it. Not a problem. And then we'd sit there with like one of his toys, just stroking it. And he'd be looking at what he'd got and looking at the toy that you'd got. And then he decided he wanted the toy, so we did a swapsie. The worst thing he ever took was, I think he got it out of the wash, didn't he? A pair of my mum's tights. Pantyhose to you in the States. She went mad. She's like, they're brand new. He'll put his teeth through them. I said, just leave him with them. And there he is, drooling all over them. I'm like, oh my God, there's going to be holes in it. And she said, right, I'm just ignoring him. And we all ignored him. And when he was like sat there, he had his paw on it. And we're like, nope, just ignoring you. And he eventually just nodded off and she whipped them from under him. He was terrible for taking stuff. But not as bad as our friend's dog. A little King Charles Spaniel. He just eats stuff. Things like...
Come say hello.
You're going to say hello? You got a treat?
I've got a treat. Come say hello.
You're going to pre-bark for that treat? She's listening to you. Don't teach her to pre-bark.
There you go.
She's got a rodeo stick. She's quite happy now. Yeah, I'm talking about Milo. He just eats anything, doesn't he? I mean, the worst one of the lot, they take him to the vet. He bin dips. So he'll have handkerchiefs. He'll have any rubbish that's in the bin.
She's bin dipped the bathroom bin a couple of times.
That's why I leave the bathroom door locked. You tend to leave it wide open.
I don't. I shut it over.
But, I mean, she wouldn't eat the kind of thing that Milo eats. Because the worst thing was that he'd already had a couple of operations. Every time he eats something, he's got to have an operation to get rid of it. And this particular time, they had no idea what he'd eaten, but he had the same symptoms. You know, he's like rolling around, his tummy's hard to touch and it's distended. So they get him off to the vet. They do... an x-ray and said, yeah, eating something looks like fabric. And they were thinking probably tissues or something. So they gets him under the anaesthetic. They takes out what he'd eaten. They puts it in a bag and gives it back to the couple. And it was two pairs of her knickers.
Well, that's as good as the story Kim's just...
Oh, what was this? I was on the phone with my doctor and Kiva runs out the bedroom with my good bra in her mouth. Busy trying to get the doctor off the phone to save the bra. I fully appreciate that, Kim.
We need to be thankful that Maya did not eat things like that. Lola does not eat things like that. And Kiva didn't actually swallow it. Because this girl said, I can't go back to the vet again. Not when they handed her the bag and said, that's what was in it. It was two pairs of used knickers.
That chicken.
These dogs will be the death of us, won't they? They never tell you this in the puppy book. You see the pretty pictures of the cute puppies and you think, oh, butter wouldn't melt. Never believe it. Yes, that's chicken. Chicken so far, not got a hole. But as you well know, we did buy copious supplies of extra chicken because she really took to chicken. Do you remember when I was scouring Amazon for chickens? And they just looked scary. There were some scary looking dog chickens on there, I can assure you. I will forever think of Kiva running around with your good bra. Maya did that as a pup, not with a bra, but what he did as a puppy, and he caught Mike completely unawares. Again, I think Mike was bringing the washing in, and the washing would be in like a plastic carry basket thing. And, and Barney's heard Lola's chickens run off to find it. Anthony, if you've got a B&M nearby, you can get them from there, and they're incredibly inexpensive. So there was this washing basket of stuff, and I don't know where Mike left it, but the next I see, Mike's chasing May around the garden. And I said, you know, enough play, and Mike just went, psst. I went, what? And he went, look at him. And I looked, and he'd only got a pair of Mike's underpants. Marauding round the garden with them like it was the best prize ever. Jonathan was talking about getting a dog. How do you feel now, Jonathan? Although I'm thinking it's unlikely he'd be making off with your best bra. But then you never know. Yeah, Mike's got a bra. Yes. Mike has a Freddy bra. Did I ever tell you about the lady at church? Mike got this outfit. He wanted two Freddy outfits. He wanted the one with the yellow jacket and the white pants. And he wanted the I Want to Break Free outfit, which was the pink mini dress, pink top, black skirt. So he orders the pair of them. When the one with the pink top arrives, the top and the skirt are together. So it's basically a dress, but it's like sewn in the middle. And it actually had in it like a bra. And I think it had like a couple of foam pieces in it. But the thing was, I mean, it was just all over the place. Trust me. Everyone who said, took one look at me and went, you need a better bra, mate. So there's this lady at church. I think she's 89. And she'd seen the photos of him in this outfit. She turns up and she's got this bag. And she says, I've got you a present. And she hands over the gift bag. This was like a couple of weeks later. And he opens it and he's looking at it and he's not got a clue. Now, over here, we tend to refer to it as chicken fillets. And they are basically like pieces of foam that would fill a bra. And she said, it'd be much better if you use those. And Mike's like, what? What is it? I'll tell you later. Just say thank you. So he's actually got two implants, temporary implants, we'll call them. Someone's got a sausage dog, Winston. Oh, that's awful, isn't it? His brothers and sisters stolen before he was picked up. Poor dog, you wonder whether they ever recover. He's so shy. Well, you never know what happened when he was actually taken. Oh, you get to babysit. That's the best kind, Jonathan. It is. That, I mean, if we hadn't have offered to take in Ollie, we wouldn't be with Lola now. Chicken fillets, yes, they were chicken fillets. I'm explaining about your chicken fillets from Pauline.
Chicken fillets. Oh.
They're known as chicken fillets, remember?
Yes.
You're looking at them with like, what is this? Like, leave it, Mike, walk away. Saying you need a better bra. What Mike needs is a best bra. We will get you a best bra. You're going to have to get your Freddy outfit out because if I'm right... Let me have a look. Not on there, I'm not. My calendar's gone all ropey, that's the problem. Let's have a look. Oh, it's not next week. It must be the week after. The 4th of July would have been one night of Queen.
It would.
And you would have been wearing your outfit and it would have been fabulous. So I think that night, on by request, we need to have lots of Queen, don't you?
Yeah. Winston.
Winston the dog. Sausage dog. I think the first dog I actually got to play with was, called a Lancashire Heeler. But I always thought it was a sausage dog. Let me have a look for a picture of a Lancashire Heeler. Because it was Dad that said he was a Lancashire Heeler. And knowing my father, he barely knows one end of it from the other. Lancashire Heeler. Because I thought they were smaller. Could have been, but he was longer than that. Maybe he was a Lancashire Heeler crossed with a sausage dog. But he was called Monty. Monty the dog. And he was of an age where he got a bit grumpy. But he was lovely to play with. Lovely, cute dog. I could take him for a walk. I was only about 6 or 7. And then because he was so tiny, they did let me hold the lead. And after that, one of the neighbours had a golden Labrador called Hunter. Oh, he was fabulous. I got to take him for walks as well. But that was it. Mum was having none of it. That was as far as it went, unfortunately. Ah, Jonathan loves Queen. Ah, we've got a Queen special, Jonathan. On Brooklands. So we'll put the Queen special on, I think, that week.
Yeah.
In fact, we might do a new one. Because that one's still got the stuff in from last year, so I might re-edit that one.
Okay.
Because Hindi makes it fabulous to re-edit.
Yeah, they've only got little legs, Johnny.
Can't take them on long walks. No. We see some people here taking dogs out, and honestly, the dog is virtually running next to them. And you think, you know, they are so tiny. Ooh, there's a link about the heelers. He was definitely longer than that and potentially lower slung. So I'm sure he must have been a cross. They said he was a Lancashire Heeler. Let's have a look at the pic he's on here. Yeah, I would say he was longer than that. Maybe it's the same in the face, but I definitely think he'd been crossed. But people didn't like back then to say they were a cross dog because that was a mongrel. We don't use the term mongrel anymore, do we?
Hello, Graham.
Hello, Graham. Ooh. 5:30. We're going live at 4 with Marooned, and then we're doing the MacBites Live starting at 5. 5:30 is absolutely fine. Join us then.
And it will be in here.
It will be on MacBites FM. It will indeed. It will be exactly where you are now. If you want to be walked off your feet, Jonathan, what you really need is a Samoyed. Just saying. You can join me for one of my meetings at 4. Jonathan, this meeting, it's not going to go on, is it? You know, like over 2 hours. The meeting that was an hour over ran by 2 hours. That one? Not having one of those tomorrow. In fact, I'm already planning for Tuesday. Tuesday, I've got a governor's meeting. A governor's meeting on Zoom. So I'm telling them straight, I've got a hard out at 7, so trip it along, get on with it. Insufferable games demos. I've got a sneaking suspicion that there will be lots of games demos. There is lots of talk about a games controller, an Apple games controller, but also either a new or a special version of the 16-inch MacBook Pro that's dedicated to gaming. Which, I don't know about you, terrifies me. If they get into the gaming malarkey. I just want one that runs my stuff. Seriously, at the moment, this started happening about 2 weeks ago. I'm not getting any notifications. So I'll get a notification. Like I had an appointment at 4 o'clock last Friday. Notification appeared 21 minutes past. And I'm like, what's going on? What gives? It's ridiculous. So I'm just not particularly getting any notifications at the moment. The other problem I've got is I use an app called Mailplane. Anybody use that? It's basically just a wrapper for Google Mail. And we were sitting there last night and I said to Mike, half the appointments are missing. And he said, no, they're not. There they are. I said, no, they're missing. Look. And I moved away from the page and moved back to the page and they just vanished. I didn't turn the calendars off, but that was the effect, as if that's what you'd done. I'm now back in a browser. Oh, Spark for you. I did used to use Spark. I even actually decided to move my calendars so I could make the whole thing work. But I basically just want something simple. I moved away from apps because I had about 9 of them. And each one was fabulous at one thing. But unfortunately, there wasn't one that was great in every respect. So I decided I might as well just use a browser. So I was using a browser. And then I realised that this mail plane was just a wrapper. So I could have open my mail, my calendar, my contacts. And if you remember, I set up notifications as well by using a secondary account. And it's working fine from my phone and thus my watch. But on the desktop, not having it. Not having it at all. Having said that, you know that I was fighting with Camtasia. The battle still goes on. Although apparently I'm not as bad as some people. I just wish stuff worked. But you see, I don't suppose it'd be a good event if Apple just stood up and said, yeah, you know, everything's broken, we fixed it. I would personally probably break down in tears of relief, but I don't think anybody else would. Ooh, Simon used to use it. It's a good one. It's a good one when it works. I have no idea why it's not working. So I might try uninstalling it and reinstalling it. But that's not the problem with the notifications. That's just the notification system seems to be balked. We'll see how it goes. You've told them you're finishing at 5:30. If they don't like it, they can tell me why on Tuesday. Jonathan.
They should understand.
That's fabulous.
They should know.
That sounds exactly like me, doesn't it? When I walked out on that guy. Oh, I'm sure I've told you this. I was working at a solicitor's and he lost the plot because the car park was full. So he threw everybody's car out of the car park and said, we're going to keep the car park for clients, which is all very well. But where does everybody else park? How, when they get to work, where do they park? So everyone, one by one, went into his office and started crawling round him and explaining why they needed a parking space. And I said nothing. I just booked a taxi to arrive at work at 8:55 and to leave at 5:30. So I wouldn't be there doing the post room in the morning or anything else he fancied. And nor would I be there after 5:30. And my mum said, this is going to be great. It's going to be a battle of wills and I know who's going to win. And it so went on for weeks and he wanted me to go in and beg and I wouldn't do it. And then came this business where I had to go up to Bury, which was about 25 miles away, and told him I was booking a taxi there and back, which would probably cost about £80 to £100. He went, no, you can bring your car in that day. And I leant on the desk and I said, either my car is in the car park permanently or it's not. So I'll book that taxi. And I walked out. He had to leave his office and he owned the place. His name was above the door. He had to get out of his office and come into my office. He had to knock to get in because I'd shut the door and then tell me it was OK. My car could go back and he would never do that again. Oh, Jonathan,
what's
we were separated
the barking
at birth.
For now?
Probably chicken's not where she wants it to be.
Right.
But on the upside, she's not pre-barking. Oh, noodles. Noodles, the Labradoodle. Oh, 25-mile walk. Oh, wow. Lola does get tired. Lola does actually get tired, thankfully. Probably more tired than Maya did, but then she's probably not used to it.
No.
Maya did that from day one. Let's move down. They just released a MacBook Pro with a new graphics option. This is supposed to be a dedicated gaming machine, but I don't know about that. That could just be people speculating. I don't think that's on Apple's agenda. But I could be totally wrong. Totally wrong. Keith would be okay in a flat as long as she got her walks. I reckon Lola would, wouldn't she?
Yeah.
We'd only had her about 4 or 5 days and we took her off to that hotel. I wonder if we could do that now because she would probably bark the place down. But she was very, very good. Oh, everybody loved her there.
Yeah, she's been barking outside. You probably heard
her. If she wants to bark, let her bark. It is a bit warm, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Let's have a look. What is it about Mailplane you find better than using Gmail in a browser? Just the fact that it's separate from my browsers. Because I don't tend to use one browser. I tend to use 3 or 4 at the same time.
At least.
I have Vivaldi for Notion and Roam. So I've got Notion and Roam open all the time. And the reason I use Vivaldi for that one is you've got this, the side panel option. And the side panel is incredibly powerful in Vivaldi. It just works really well in Vivaldi for that. I can actually see Notion. I can see multiple pages side by side, if you remember. And I can have this sidebar open. So that's what I would put in there. If I'm watching YouTube videos, which I'm in YouTube a lot, then I use Chrome for that because it's the only one that supports 4K. But actually, my default browser for just general browsing is Firefox. So and they all now look the same because I've made them all dark. And before, they at least looked different and I could see the difference. But I wanted to go dark with Chrome because I'm watching YouTube videos in it. Vivaldi looks better dark, so I left that dark. And I think I already had Firefox dark to start with. So I don't particularly want to be thinking which one of these pages has got my mail in it. But at the moment, that's what I'm actually doing. I might have to put that in something else. Just really so I go to it and I only have my calendar and my mail and maybe my contacts open in it. I guess I could actually open it in all the browsers, but it's just mildly annoying. The other thing is, in Mailplane, there's a shortcut key. It's Command-Shift-E. And what it enables you to do is to send a copy of the mail with full visual fidelity straight to DevonThink, which, when I said you've got 9 mail clients and they all do one thing great, you can do that with certain mail clients, but it's dependent on the mail client. And in this case, you are dependent on the fact that your mail is open in Mailplane, which I could still do, to be honest, because there's nothing wrong with a mail. It's the calendar that's not behaving itself. But it feels silly to just have your mail in there, you know, when and the calendar not working. I actually just want the calendar working. I can't even fathom what on earth that would be. The stuff that's disappearing isn't on one calendar, it's on multiple calendars. So it's completely illogical, but that's what it's doing. I guess I need to fix it. I shall add it to the long list of things I need to fix. Right, let's have a look. Oh, Graham's hoping for a new iMac. Aren't we all, Graham? Would you be looking for a larger one, or would you be looking at potentially this 23-inch that's been talked about? Problem with the 23-inch, I reckon they do that as like the same as the 21.5-inch, where you can't get inside it to do the RAM. Mm. Although I wouldn't be surprised if they don't take the RAM option out of the main Mac and be done with it. I don't know why they do that with the RAM, because it just looks greedy. Really does just look greedy. But if they bring out a new iMac, Graham, Mike and I will be looking at it very, very, very closely. A loodle or a plant? A labradoodle. A dude. Oh, that's cool. Kiva's a dude. That works.
A dude.
Ollie's a jackapoo. So they both got poodle. Ollie's just a lot smaller, I think. When he first arrived, you know, he reminded me of a cat. I was so used to Maya, who was very big for the breed standard, that when this tiny little dog arrived, I'm like, oh, it's going to break. But we got used to him. He was a maniac, wasn't he? Oh, we're not had him this year. We might get him in October. You never know. You never know. If his family go on holiday, our luck might be in. But fingers crossed. Fingers crossed for that.
Isn't John Prosser some... In the no bloke.
Probably. Why? Yeah. What's he saying?
Looking like any possible hardware has been scrapped for WWDC tomorrow. Might be wrong about this one. Would love to be wrong. But we shall see.
It's a tough call, though.
Yeah.
I mean, if they left it, they've already not had a keynote, a proper one, since last September.
Yeah.
So people will get uppity. I mean, I watched a video of this guy, and it was not that there was... He did not say there was anything wrong with the iMac as it stands today, in terms of the look of it. He just said, I'm bored of it. And I thought, for crying out loud. I mean, redesign something to make it better, but not just because the commentators are, and I quote, bored of it. Ludicrous.
He asks... Are you all ready for WWDC tomorrow? Mm. And somebody says to him, wildest thing would be that they start WWDC by reading your tweets and say, who the F is he?
Oh my God. I've heard that about labradoodles. It's the poodle part, isn't it? That they're kind of hypoallergenic.
Yeah.
That's why the family near us who have a lot... he's not a labradoodle, is he? What doodle's he?
Cockapoo.
A cockapoo. One of their children is allergic. And that was the dog that you saw in the picture, but we only had the picture of the back of him. Romeo. Still trying to talk them into getting a girl called Juliet. Working on it. They did have a dog, though, didn't they? And they gave him away. He was too much to handle, apparently. And then they got this little one, who's ever so sweet. Ever so sweet. They do say, and there's another breed as well. I can't remember their names, but the Obama children. What were their names? Malalia. Someone was one. But the Obama children had allergies. And when he was running for president, they had said to them that there was too much travelling involved and they couldn't have a dog. But if they got into the White House or when the presidential race was over, whether they got in or not, they could have a dog. And the dog they got was a something water dog. Can't remember. Definitely something water dog. And apparently they are completely hypoallergenic as well.
You could be right there, Simon.
Let me have a look. What's going on
Simon
here?
Says they're going to introduce the Ailu.
Oh, Kiva doesn't shed much. Kim, you can enjoy the dog shedding vicariously from here, because when she blows her coat, she blows her coat. Big style for weeks. Yeah, she pretty much turned it into a cocoon last time, didn't she?
Mm.
The girls blow much more than the boys do, definitely. Her entire coat came out. With Mayer, he was quite patchy, wasn't he? He'd blow a little bit of fur, and then maybe a little bit more, but that was it. And you couldn't really tell by looking at him, but Lola goes very thin. Her entire undercoat just goes all over the house. Good job we don't care, isn't it? Like the length of our front garden grass.
Mm.
Don't care. Which is probably taller than she is now. We're rewilding. Keep saying it, we're rewilding. We've probably got butterflies in our garden and bees and things.
Probably.
Yeah. It's all by design. You've been doing all the grooming since COVID. So Graham would be going for the 23. I did recommend, Graham, didn't I? Knocking a wall down and putting a bigger shelf in. Which you probably need to do to get the 27 in. Or will they make a 32-inch? Because if they do that, Graham, I'm going to need to knock a wall down and extend the desk. I actually, the other day, got the tape measure out just having a look. You know, just in case. That's what you call confidence, isn't it? So Jonathan needs to know what's happening after COVID. Getting one right now seems like a strange thing to do. You wouldn't want to give him up if you couldn't accommodate them anymore. What you could do, our friend recommended this to us and I'd never heard of it before. I'd have to find the name of it. But basically, you can register as like a dog sitter. And when people go on holiday, instead of them sending their pet to a kennels to live, it comes to you for the holiday, and that way you decide when you've got the capacity to look after a dog. I did look into it. It looked cool, but then of course we found Lola and that was the end of that. But it seemed like a nice thing to be able to do that, and it would also give you some exposure to different kinds of breeds. Because the thing is, I mean, even I thought this before I got Maya, you just think of a dog as being a dog. And that all dogs are the same, you know, they bark, four legs, tail. But the different breeds are incredibly different. I mean, Ollie is a totally different character, isn't he?
Apart
from the fact he's absolutely barking crazy. He has no kitchen sense at all. He'd climb in the oven, left alone. If you open that oven door, you know, and there's food in it, he would climb in there. You really do have to keep him out the kitchen. Maya had way more sense in the kitchen because that was Mum's domain. So you set one nail in the kitchen and Mum was like, Maya, out. So he knew to behave better. Lola's not too bad, but she is obsessed with the fridge. She is fully aware there are treats in the fridge. They might be our treats.
And the cupboard.
And the cupboard. She knows that there's treats in the cupboard as well.
The cupboard where the treats are is also where the freezer bags are. So every time I go for a freezer bag, she jumps up thinking she's getting a treat.
Let's have a look. Mac Mini. I had a couple of Mac Minis. They're great machines. I ran them headless as like servers. They were fantastic, but honestly, the price of them is ridiculous. that used to be the entry-level Mac, and I think it served its purpose like that. But they seem to have moved away from that. So your brother and Pauline got Zippy the Cockapoo, and they were shocked how small he was. That's the thing, isn't it? He does. They look like... Well, I thought with Ollie, he was about the size of a big cat. But he's very sturdy, considering. You really want a new iMac, Kim. Put it on your wish list. I said Zippy and Noodles are fabulous names. Going out on a limb and suggest they're going to introduce the Ilo. Does it come with free toilet paper? Because they'll sell thousands. Oh, dear, oh, dear. You will get your bingo cards tomorrow. You need to give us a number. Not a phone number. What we're going to do is, we don't want everybody to have the same card, obviously. Where's the fun in that? So we'll be creating an entire range of cards, and you will need to pick a number and then download that one. So they will be with you tomorrow. You will not miss out, Jonathan. Dust is shedding at the moment. Oh, no. Enough fluff to make a large rabbit. I feel your pain, Mrs. Simon. Mind you, that means you're actually removing some of this fur. Lola just woke up one morning and kind of exploded. She just sent the fur all over the house. The stairs are a nightmare to get fur off. I don't know why. We've actually got on the stairs some special padding that we put there for Maya, because he got arthritis, and he found, he could climb the stairs. It was either painful for him or he was scared. So we put like rubber matting at the bottom, and then we've got this special foamy stuff, and it's still there to this day, isn't it? That's why the stairs look a little bit odd when you look at them, because there's carpet, but this stuff is over the top of the carpet. But it definitely helped. But oh, to get the fur off it, it's like glue. It's like Velcro to it.
Night, Erwin.
Good night, Erwin. See you tomorrow. A 32-inch would be hugely expensive. Jonathan, let's be honest. Anything's expensive from Apple. I just think they might at the moment, pretty much because HP have released this 32-inch standalone and it's getting a lot of traction. So there's a possibility. Ooh, Zippy when he was a puppy. Puppy pictures. Got to have that. That's another good idea, volunteering at the local dog's home. Take different breeds for a walk. They always need dog walkers. And another thing is guide dogs. Guide dogs have various groups of people that they use. Borrow My Doggy, that sounds like one. I don't think that was the name of it, but similar principle. The guide dogs need people like Jane, who takes on a puppy and trains it up to being about anywhere really between 12 to 18 months old. But that is a heck of a commitment. But they also need people to just take guide dogs for a week or 2 weeks when the owner goes abroad and doesn't take the dog. Now, obviously, at the moment, not many people going abroad. But we talked to a gentleman who came and gave us a talk on the guide dogs. And he did that with his. He said he'd just come back from 10 days abroad and that his dog had been to like doggy daycare, basically. And how they do it, the guide dogs have like a list of people who would be able or prepared to take a guide dog. And the thing with guide dogs are, you know, they're trained to within an inch of their life. They wouldn't need... You wouldn't get the harness with the dog. The dog is working when the harness is on, and the dog knows that. So when Stephen came in with Eaton was so cute. I've never seen a guide dog like Eaton. He was huge, wasn't he?
He was.
And so furry. He was more like an Alsatian. But when he came in, he said, like, he's not working now. He took the harness off. So you would get the dog without the harness, and then the dog is just a dog. You take it for walks. You don't have to train it or anything else. You just look after the dog while somebody's away. And again, you're on a list. So if you're not free, it's not convenient for you that week. So that would be another good way. And at least that way, you know the dog you're getting is trained. They're not going to cause any problems. Of course, it's also fabulous to get them in the building as well. Oh, it's a guide dog. Although I guess for that, they'd want to see the harness. Brilliant in your flat. Zippy and Noodles. 2.5 times the size of Kiva. Wow. You want a lucky number of 613, Jonathan. Okay. We can all make sure 613 is fabulous. Often the puppy walker will look after the dog, and then when the dog retires, the puppy walker takes the opportunity to adopt. True. What's happened in this case with Eaton? Eaton retired a few months ago, and he's staying with Stephen, and he's not taking another guide dog until Eaton passes, which, is a huge impact on his life. He made the point to us that he was having ukulele lessons and the ukulele teacher didn't like dogs, even guide dogs. So he would walk there with just his stick, and it used to take him over twice as long to get there because you have to be so slow with a stick. And when you think of the things that are in the way, I mean, I went to pick Stephen up from his house and he was at the bottom of his garden, the path, and there was a little bit of pavement, and at the edge of the pavement there was some grass, and the grass was like higher than the pavement. So when we went back that night, he obviously had no idea where I'd pulled up in relation to his house. So I went round to open the door, and as I got there, there was a broken bottle. So I'm trying to shift it, and I said, just a minute, there's a broken bottle. And he went, oh, I wouldn't have seen that, you know, straight through it, which is so dangerous for the dog. So I actually kicked it into the gutter, and then we got him and Eaton out, and off they went in. But I can imagine it would take twice as long without the dog. But the dogs are an absolute lifesaver for them, aren't they? Mm. But yeah, adopting them, that's a good idea. Jane's got a retired guide dog. She's had him quite a while now, hasn't she?
Yeah.
Kirby, he retired early. He retired early because he had arthritis, which I can fully understand because that's exactly what Maya had. But he must have had early onset arthritis. I think he was about 7. Because he had his 10th birthday not long ago.
Remember.
He might have been 6.5, 7 when she adopted him. But he was an ex-guide dog and she totally took him on. And she's been with him while she's done two puppies as well. She had two puppies, guide dog puppies. It is such an amazing thing to do, but whoa, what a commitment. That is a heck of a commitment. There's no like us, is there, with like put those knickers down and give me my best bra back. How do guide dogs know not to do that? Maybe we should borrow one and get it to see
trained.
How do you train a dog to leave your pants alone? I explained about Maya marauding around the garden with yours when it was a puppy.
Yes, I heard that bit.
Oh, that was so funny. Because the thing was, they'd just come out the wash, weren't they? And they were bright white. They weren't when Maya had finished with them. They needed to go back in the wash again. Fabulous, fabulous. My old boss accompanied a client and a guide dog into a DWP assessment, and the assessor didn't like dogs and refused to do the assessment. Oh. In the end, my boss pointed out DDA and she just passed. A lot. I'll tell you who do that a lot. Taxis. Taxis are lethal. I had no idea. One, I don't use taxis that much. I did when Mum was ill, didn't I? He wanted to drop me off at Sainsbury's. I asked him to drop me off at the TSB. He wanted to drop me off at Sainsbury's. I was like a mile away. I said, no. I said, turn left, right, over there. And took him up this dead end. And he said, how do I get out of here? I said, you back up, turn left, and up that alleyway, you'll be fine. If I want a taxi, you know, part of my reasoning was, Mum had been home about 2 days, hadn't she? And she was clearly going downhill rapidly. She wanted me to sort out some finance. And I had to go in with passports and all kinds of things to get them to get the paperwork so I could bring it home, get her to sign it, and then dash back with it. But the girl was great, if you remember, because her dad had passed, hadn't he? And she said, I know exactly what it's like. It's a nightmare. She actually said she would drop it off. And I said, no, you know, I'll sort it out. And that was why I wanted a taxi, because I knew the nearest car park was about 2 miles away. And by the time I've got there, it was just easy with a taxi. But we've got a friend whose wife, she's actually just died about a month ago. But she was in a wheelchair and he books a taxi frequently. They don't have a car. And he tells the company that she's in a wheelchair. I know, yeah, no problem. Disability Act, like you're saying. And this particular taxi pulls in. They're in, what do you call those places? It's like, it's not shielded residence, is it? But it's like a big build, a bit like a hotel, if you will. And there's only so many car parking spaces. So they actually pull into what looks like a hotel, but it's all flats. And he's stood there and his wife's there in the wheelchair. See you tomorrow, Graham. Look forward to it. And the taxi pulls in, sees her sat in the wheelchair and pulls straight out again. Wouldn't take a lady in a wheelchair. Like, what? there was another guy that we did some research on, didn't we? We were looking for guide dog stuff. I forget, is it Blind Dad or something like that? He's on Twitter. And what he did was he has himself wired up all the time when he goes out with a GoPro. So this GoPro slapped bang in the middle of his chest. And he records stuff that goes on. I'm sure it was Blind Doctor because he was a doctor. And obviously, he didn't have to give it up, did he? But as a doctor, it would be a bit tricky. But he decided with his wife that after he went blind, she would work and they would have children and that he would bring the children up, which is a big thing to take on, isn't it? I think if you're blind from birth or being very young, you kind of adapt. But for it to happen later, it must be terrifying to go out. And he put this camera on and he went out and he came back this particular day. There's about two or three incidents. This particular day he came...
This one?
That's the guy.
Yeah.
Kika. That's right, remember the dog. Beautiful dog. He comes back this particular day and he said something went on. I don't know what. I don't know. But it wasn't right. And he'd been on the tube. And obviously on the tube, people are so uncouth. On the tube, they really are. You have to, is it you stand to the right or the left? I can never remember which, but I know when I get there. Basically, you have to stand on one side, and then the other side is for people who want to rush past. You can't do that if there's a dog there, because the dog doesn't know that. And the fact that the dog is on an escalator to start with is pretty amazing. So this particular day when he said something wasn't right, he sensed the dog wasn't too happy. And somebody had got on behind him and wanted the dog out of the way, and they hit the dog with an umbrella. And it's caught on this guy's video. Who in their right minds could hit any dog, but particularly a guide dog, with a blind person? Who would do that? That's just sick. So it caught that. It also caught a taxi that he'd booked that pulled up, took one look and legged it. Because obviously he doesn't know whether the taxi's been or not. He's just stood there waiting. And that one disappeared. I think he actually sued that guy and won, not surprisingly. But the stuff he'd caught, the best one to me that he'd caught was like, that's amazing. Dogs are just so amazing. He was walking along the street. He'd got the child in the pram, which, again, I find amazing, you know, to have the confidence when you've not been blind since birth to leave the house with your child and your guide dog. And you're not going to know what you're going to face. So he's going along this road and the guide dog stops. The guide dog was not moving. He wouldn't move. So he waits a little bit and then he says, you know, on, or whatever the word is. And the dog's like, yeah, not happening. And he just sat there and he wouldn't move. So he didn't know what was going on. And he said, you know, there's something, isn't the boy? And the dog's just sat there and he's not moving. So luckily you can see off his camera what's going on. And what had happened was the bin lorry had pulled up and reversed into somebody's drive. So he was completely blocking the road. The dog wasn't confident enough to take him walking in the road. But a lady came along and she could see the dog just sat there and this guy stood there. What can he do? And she came across and she said, excuse me, you know, I'll just explain what's going on. And she told him and she said, may I guide you around? So at which point the dog stood up and he said, thank you. And she led the guide dog, who in turn led him around the front of this lorry and back onto the pavement at the other side. But it must be an absolute nightmare. I mean, you've seen cars on the pavement here, haven't you, Mike?
Mm.
There's no way anybody's getting past. Not even those sideways on a scooter, are you? There's like 6 inches. Oh, you're now looking at more dog pictures.
No, it's called Maya.
What?
It's called Maya.
No, that's Maya.
Oh, Maya.
Maya. Maya was Maya, two E's and an R. That must be a girl. That's a Maya.
It's an email from Pinterest with Samaritan.
I just think they're amazing. And to think that the people can hit them and kick them when they're out is... I do not have the bandwidth to process that. I really don't. I really don't. I think it's quite difficult sometimes whether to offer to help if you see that the dog's obviously got a problem and doesn't really know what to do. But they are actually trained. If you have something like a skip on the pavement and sometimes they put like a little path around it, the dog is trained to go down the path.
How that works when you've got a child in a buggy as well, I don't know. But they are very, very well trained. But honestly, if you'd have seen this thing, it was a huge bin lorry. Massive. You would not have got past it. And he had no idea what was going on. That must be so difficult. I mean, if that lady hadn't been there, what do? Do you turn around and go home? You do have to trust the dog. But do you turn around and go home? Or do you try crossing the road, maybe? But then would you know if it was a safe place to cross? There are... Jane's told me stories about training guide dogs as well, and that would curl your hair, but I'll leave that for Jane to tell you. It's a terrifying prospect, it is, honestly. Yes, all trust in the guide dogs. The guide dogs are absolutely amazing. It's such... When you hear of all the training that goes into it, I mean, you think of basic stuff, but there's all kinds of things. I remember Jane taking her first one in a lift, and it was fine in a lift, no problem at all. And then she took it to a shopping centre and they got in the lift and the dog was not having it. And it was because it was one of those modern lifts that was all glass and you could see out of it, including the floor. The dog was like, no, we're not going in there. It's not safe. And she took it weeks. Night, Jonathan.
See you, Johnny.
See you tomorrow. Big day tomorrow. But she did post and she said it's taken a few weeks. But we're there, and she was then okay going in and out of it. Things that you don't even think of. You don't even think of. And they have to cope with it all. They are amazing. Animals are just so much more fabulous than people. But that's just me, isn't it? I think we all love animals. Mm. I think all the map biters love animals. We've just got to find a dog for Jonathan, haven't we? Mm. I reckon Lola would love to go for a walk with Jonathan.
I'm sure she would.
Like that 14-mile one that you went on the other week. Save your little legs. Mm. Do you think Jonathan's ready for her? She's a bit of a handful.
He'll manage.
All Samoyeds are a bit of a handful. Well, shall we head off and prepare ourselves for tomorrow?
And get something to eat.
We're on air lots tomorrow. So don't forget, tomorrow is 4 o'clock for Marooned. We will send a mail out. It will tell you it's 4 o'clock. You will probably forget and think it's 7 o'clock, but it's 4 o'clock. At 5 o'clock, we're switching over to the MacBites Live, which is pretty much just switching the name of the show at 5 o'clock. Graham will be with us at 5:30, which is awesome. Jonathan will be with us by 5:30 at the latest because he's decided he's walking out. And I think if he can be there from 4, he will be. Then at 6 o'clock, we mute MacBites FM, unless you want the alternative commentary. Are we going X-rated with that, or are we just putting the bleep machine on all night? Depends what they announce. But yeah, I think so. Depends what they announce. But it's me muttering and chunnering on with myself, basically. And then whenever it's over, whatever time that is, we will all meet again. Although when I say we'll all meet again, we'll be live in the chat during the keynote. Usually with increasing levels of incredulity of what they've actually announced. But then we go into... us chatting again after the event. That's the plan for tomorrow. So keep your eye on your inbox. Definitely will be mails tomorrow and bingo cards. You need to pick a number and then download the corresponding bingo card. It's going to be fabulous. It's going to be amazing. So we will be with you 4 o'clock tomorrow. But
can
for the moment,
watch on our computers, or do we? You don't need the app.
No, you don't need the app. No, you can watch on the computer. It will be on apple.com/events. But we will have all of the links that you could possibly need provided for you tomorrow, when we know what they are. There you go.
Yeah, it's that one, isn't it?
What?
That link that I've just posted.
Yes. At the moment, they haven't even advertised it tomorrow, but will the email say where to get?
They've got lots of memojis.
Oh, they've actually updated that then.
Yeah.
They've updated that. Will the email say where to get the bingo cards? It definitely will, Paul. Absolutely. We are heading off to play with bingo cards right now. So, yes, it absolutely will. You will not miss out. If you are feeling particularly impressed with your little selves, you can even try and play 2 bingo cards. Or 3 if you like, however many you like. We will have enough bingo cards to go round. So, it's good night from me.
It's good night from me.
And we'll both
see you next time.
Stay safe, guys.